Please turn your Bibles to Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. As you know, we are in the midst of Elihu's speeches. And Elihu gives a series of four different speeches. And just in by way of review, we've looked at three of them and half of the fourth. All right? And we've seen that God is greater than man. We've seen that God is always right. We see that God is transcendent, but yet he's very near. We've seen that God is mighty, but yet he's merciful. And it may seem, if you've been with us throughout this entire study, that Pastor, you keep saying and keep saying the same things, or you keep speaking about God, keep saying that he's great. Is there an end to this? No! That's the point of it all. And that's the glorious truth that we're seeing and understanding here at the end of Job. Because remember the context. Here's Job, a man that has had everything, a man who is regarded as godly upon the earth by God and by mankind, and then everything was taken from him. He lost his children. He lost his livestock, his servants, his estate, his health, and even his wife to bitterness. And so now Job, he's had three friends come, and they sit with him for 7 days, they minister to him, and then they begin to barrage him with accusations. You are a sinner, Job, you need to repent, you are suffering because of your sin. And so throughout the central portion of this book, you see that conversation back and forth, back and forth. And then Elihu, the young man who had been sitting out the outskirts or listening in, has now entered into the conversation. And he now turns our attention as the reader, Job's attention, and his three friends. He is turning our attention to God and to God's greatness. As we look at this today, we need to ask ourselves some very, very personal questions. When confronted by the greatness of God, do you respond with, "Oh, that's great," or "That's nice," or "Yes, he's great," or do you respond with, "God, I cannot stand in the face of you. I cannot comprehend all that you are. God, will you direct my life in light of your greatness that I might respond to the tragedies and circumstances, the blessings, the difficulties of life in light of a great God?" You see, we as people so easily can be distracted, and we can have our gaze turned away from the greatness of our God and upon the circumstances and the challenges of our day, and we miss God's greatness and how important that is for us in our lives. I want you to recognize here that at the end of this book, it's God and his greatness that brings about the conclusion. It is God. It is all about him. It's not about Job, really. This whole book is really not about Job. It's really about God. And what God is doing is he's using his servant Job to truly display his greatness. And he's doing it in the midst of a tragedy, in the midst of a difficulty, so that none of us have excuse. None of us. God still is great. God remains mighty despite our circumstances. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down through starting at chapter 36, verse 26. I'm going to go down through verse 37, and I'll make some comments as we do, and then we're going to close our service by doing something I've never done before. I'm not going to tell you everything that I'm going to do, because there are a little bit elements of surprise is always great. keeps you awake and everything else. I mean, I didn't say that, did I? No. But Job chapter 36, verse 26. It says, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the fact that God is so great, we cannot even comprehend him. All right? So, if God is great and we can't comprehend him, then that must mean that there is so much more to who he is. And this brings to bear that we need to take the time to contemplate and think about our world. And so what Elihu does in this speech is he draws our attention now to the world in which we live, and he uses it as an illustration of the greatness of God. Look at verse 27. "For he maketh small drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly." Have you ever thought about the water cycle? Have you ever thought about how, where does the rain come from? Now, you know what? Science in our world today, science will seek to tell you that there is no need for God. They will seek to tell you that you don't need God. You just concentrate on science and the things that we tell you. And yes, science tells us what the water cycle is. But who put it there? How does it work? Talk about some organization here. Talk about movement. Talk about the incredible work of God. And also, I want you to realize, Job didn't have spreadsheets and pictures like this in these days. All right? I don't know the extent. I mean, I'm sure they were very wise people, but I don't know if they understood the full extent of the water cycle. And so, just think this kind of question. Job, think about the small drops of water and how they're evaporated up into the clouds, and then they come down as rain, and they fall down upon man abundantly. On verse 29, you see, "Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle?" How about a storm? Have you ever sat and thought about the storm? And have you thought about what causes the loud thunder, the crash? Oh, the ready answer is it's the lightning, right? And I did a little research on lightning, and it's fascinating to think about how lightning forms in the clouds. And the electrical charge, and even it becomes so great that there's a charge on the earth, and then those two things connect, and it connects the circuit, and boom, you've got the lightning bolt, and then the thunder comes as a result of that quick burst of light. And I'm sure some of you scientists could do a better explanation of that, but man, it's an incredible thing. Now, yes, science can tell us how all that is formed, but where does it come from? Who put it there? Who's organized it? Who places the storm over your town or city or house at that specific time? Verse 30, "Behold, he spreads his light or lightning and covers the bottom of the sea." Lightning is truly a magical thing, but yet incredibly powerful. You have the ocean and its power. I want you to think about how God, he covered that entire area of the oceans and seas with water. Where's all that water come from? How did that water get there? Who told that water to stay there? Not go further? God did. In case you're wondering, the whole goal and purpose of Elihu in this speech, and I believe the purpose of our time studying this, is to cause you to look to God, to cause you to see His greatness. Be in deep thought, asking questions. And don't just bypass this as, oh, that's some great science lesson. But take time to be still and say, wow, God is really great. And keep in mind that this is being told to a man that is suffering much, deeply. He is deeply in agony. Verse 31, for by them judgeth he the people, and he gives meat in abundance. With clouds he covers the light, and commands it not to shine by the cloud that comes between. The noise thereof shows concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. And I want you to pay specific attention to verse 31. Notice there is a purpose behind what God does. And God, at times, will use these kinds of things in life to bring about some judgment. We're not going to do it today, but perhaps our next time together, we are going to look at the different storms in the Scriptures. And it's an interesting study. Because as you get to know the book of Job, you realize that God comes in a what? He speaks in a storm. How are Job's children taken? In a storm. Isn't that interesting? In verse 37, at this also my heart trembles. Now this is Elihu speaking, and I want you to notice that as he is speaking here, he is saying his response to these incredible works of nature, the storm, the rain. And his response is, my heart trembles and is moved out of his place. I want you to understand, what I believe is taking place here in the setting is that as Elihu is finishing his fourth speech, in the distance, the clouds are gathering. They are getting darker. And soon the wind begins to blow. You know, you could tell when a storm's coming. And things become still, right? Boom. And then, and you begin to see the storm as it comes. And I believe that's what's happening here. And so I want you to think about that. Think about what's taking place as Elihu. Now his heart's trembling. He has moved out of his place. Hear attentively, Job, the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He directs it under the whole heaven and his lightning unto the ends of it. Notice how the clouds gather. Have you ever watched? I hope you haven't watched a storm like that, but maybe you have. But you ever noticed how the storm clouds gather? After it, a voice roars, and he thunders with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. Verse 5, I have underlined in my Bible. Listen, God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. See, this is the driving point of what Elihu is trying to get Job to consider. God is so great. He is beyond our comprehension. And this plays an important role for those that are suffering. Because listen, as Job, he felt he had a right. He wanted to counsel with God, and he wanted to tell God, this is the way things should be. You are being unfair to me. I am suffering. For what reason? And I have all of these friends that are telling me I've sinned, but what sin have I committed? And what is being, Job is being, he's being exposed. What's being exposed in his life is what? A proud heart. And it's interesting how that comes to play. And at the end of this book, God rebukes the three friends. God rebukes Job. And Job is left in repentance. But then he is blessed. And an incredible, powerful lesson that we're seeing here. And I love the language. God thunders marvelously. Listen, next time you hear the thunder, stop and consider God. Stop and consider God. Verse 6, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. You ever thought about the snow? I mean, we look at it as a nuisance or a fun thing to play in, but where does the snow come from? Think about its beauty, its majesty. Isn't it interesting how God caps the mountains with snow? And so many people travel to see it and to ski it. The snow. Verse 6, likewise, to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. How do you guys feel about rain? All part of that water cycle. It's all good. It's helpful. But so many times it causes troubles and issues in our life. But yet, God giveth the rain. And God chooses when to give it, and where to give it, how much to give it, because he's God. In verse 7, he seals up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Interesting, this is a good verse for farmers. What happens when the weather, inclement weather comes? The farmers are forced indoors. No offense, maybe you farmers aren't, but it seems if you can't do much work in a field when there's snow on it, or when the rain is pouring down. And what does it say here? He seals up the hand of every man. In other words, he closes their hands because there's nothing to do at that point. God did that. He's in control of that weather. That all men may know his work. So farmers, next time you're upset because it's raining outside, take time to be still before God, knowing God's control of that rain anyway. Take time to contemplate his work. His work. It's easy for me to say, I'm a pastor, huh? Verse 8, the beasts go into their dens, and they remain in their places. Out of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. And by the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Don't you love beauty of frost? I mean, I guess if you have a garden and it destroys your plants, you're a little upset, but there's something about the frost that truly is beautiful. Where does that come from? Who decides when it comes? How it lays on the trees? Do you see what he's doing here? I mean, he's just natural thing after natural thing. Look at the world. Look at the creation. And Job, where's all this from? Who did this? Who decided this? There at the end of verse 10, the breadth of the waters is straightened, I believe is a word for frozen. Mighty lakes. You know the Great Lakes, they freeze over sometimes. These are mighty bodies of water. In the north, you have ships that get stuck in the water because the water freezes over. Who thought about that? Who thought about making it so cold that water would freeze? I sure didn't. God did. And, you know, we could think and scratch our heads, and why we could ask the question, why, God, would you create such a thing as that? But there again, God is so much beyond our comprehension. Be still. Verse 12, is turned around about by his counsels that they may do whatsoever he commands them upon the face of the world and the earth. Notice who's in control. God is in control. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Understand that God is in control of all of these things. He causes them to come, and in this verse it gives us why. Either for correction or for his mercy. For the rod of discipline or for his compassionate love. The snow and the rain can come, and it waters the earth and the land, and it shows great blessing upon the land, and it shows God's mercy. God reigns upon the just and the unjust. He is so merciful in provision for food for this entire world, which is so counsel and water. But so often we're seeing judgment, right? So often we're seeing incredible storms that come, and you know, we can't stand back and say, oh, these people are being judged. Only God knows. But there are times and there are people that experience God's judgment, and it's a lot through weather. Jonah. What happened to Jonah? A big storm. Be still. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still. Consider the wondrous works of God. Consider. Take time to consider the wondrous works of God. Verse 15. Do you know when God disposed them? Caused the light of His cloud to shine? Notice these questions. Do you know these things? Do you know the balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? Do you know, verse 17, how your garments are warm when He quiets the earth by the south wind? Interesting thought. You know how you get hot? Now, how does that happen? You know, there's a lot of energy that has to take place that builds, that makes heat. And you know, why do we have to deal with being hot? Why is it that our garments become a nuisance to us when the warm wind comes? Question for Job. Interesting questions, aren't they? In verse 18, hast thou with Him spread out the sky, which is as strong and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto Him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told Him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and cleanses them. Fair weather comes out of the north, with God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear Him. He respects not any that are wise of heart. And thus ends Elihu's speech. Well, the questions that Job is being asked, he can't comprehend God, and he doesn't know how all of these take place and how God handles these things. He doesn't know all of those answers. And as you, a reader of this book, as you sit and contemplate these things, I want you to think about, you know, the next time you're in a difficult situation, a tragedy, a difficulty, think about the greatness of God. And allow that to minister truth into your soul. You know, Elihu here, he's seeking to explain God, and we know that is just a small glimpse of who God really is. But as we know from Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And we have the opportunity to know God to a certain degree as we watch Him at work in the weather and the lands around us. Take time and consider His work, for they are truly marvelous. I'd like to close by reading this passage of Scripture again, and then I'm going to continue down through the remaining portion of the book of Job. And you might say, Pastor, that's a lot. But let me explain to you why I'm doing this. I believe this took place in all one sitting. I believe Elihu shared everything with Job, and I believe it all goes together. And I believe that we do a disservice when we break it up into these small sections. Yes, I have to preach in small sections, but I think it's going to help us if we hear it all together. So we're going to listen to Elihu as he introduces God, and then we're going to listen to what God says. And remembering the context of Job in ashes here, weeping, grieving, hurting, in pain, And I want you to notice what God says. I'll begin reading at chapter 36 in verse 26. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. And also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreads his light upon it and covers the bottom of the sea. For by them judges he the people. He gives meat in abundance. With clouds he covers the light and commands it not to shine. By the cloud that comes betwixt, the noise thereof showeth concerning it. The cattle also concerning the vapor. At this also my heart trembles and is moved out of this place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He directs it under the whole heaven and is lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it, his voice roareth. He thunders with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice, and great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens, and they remain in their places. Out of the south comes the whirlwind, the cold, out of the north. And by the breath of God, frost is given. The breath of waters is straightened. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud and scatters the bright cloud. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commands them upon the face of the world. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, for his land, for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Do you know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How your garments are warm when he quiets the earth by the south wind. Have you with him spread the sky, which is strong and has a molten looking glass? Oh, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? Or if a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. Now, men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and cleanses them. Fair weather comes out of the north. With God is terribly majestic. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respects not any but a wise heart. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you and answer you thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When this morning star sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with the doors, and it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band before it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. here shall thy proud ways be seen. Have you commanded the morning since your days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Oh, it is turned as a clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm shall be broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto you? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you perceived the breath of the earth? Declare, if you know it all. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That you shouldst take it to bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know that the paths of the house thereof. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, and because the number of your days is great? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Or have you seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who has divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who is gendered? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Mazaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof near? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover you? Can you send lightnings, that they may go and say unto you, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust grows in hardness and the clods cleave fast together, wilt you hunt the prey for the lion? Fulfill the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provides for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? Thou bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows, their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild donkey free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild donkey? Whose house have I made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwellings? He scorns the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee, or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after? Will you trust him because his strength is great, or will you leave your labor to him? Will you believe him that he will bring home your seed and gather it into your barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth their eggs in the earth and warms them in the dust, and forgets that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifts up herself on high, she scorns the horse and his rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes on to meet the armed men. He mocks at fear and is not affrighted, neither turns he back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallows the ground with his fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha! And he smells the battle afar off, the thunder, the captains, and the shouting. Doth a hawk fly by your wisdom and strength, her wings toward your south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? She dwells and abides on a rock, on the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From there she seeks prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the storm and said, gird up your loins now like a man. I will demand of you and declare thou unto me. Will you also disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I confess unto you that thine own right hand can save you. Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with you, he eats grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, his force is in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like cedar, and the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lies under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinks up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He takes it up with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Can you put a hook into his nose or pour his jaw through the thorn? Will he make many supplications unto you? Will he speak soft words unto you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you bind him for your children? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay your hand upon him, remember the battle, and do it no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will conceal his parts, nor his power. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered. By his sneezings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, and as out of a seething pot or cauldron, his breath kindled coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remains strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. And the flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves, they cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as stone, yes, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the havergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughs at the shaking of his spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreads sharp-pointed things upon the mire. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He makes a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He's a king over all the children of the blood. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you, and declare thou unto me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees you. Wherefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Lord, as we conclude such a reading, may it never, not soon escape us, the gravity of all that has been expressed there. God, truly are a great God. And Lord, as you declared from your own voice in the midst of the storm to Job, there is a list that could keep on going of things that we cannot understand and we cannot fully comprehend about you. And I thank you, God, for sharing this truth with us. As Karen continues to play that song, I ask, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you some questions, church. What is it that you're holding up against God? As Job, he had his expectations, and he was holding it up against God and declaring that God was unrighteous and unfair. And is there something in your life that you're holding up against God? I trust, as you have been confronted today by the greatness of God, that God humbles your heart. And that you realize that your expectations are simply leading you away from the greatness of God. Remembering how God used this declaration of greatness in Job's life, he wants to do the same in yours. And don't allow these things that you're holding on to, holding up against God, to lead you to frustration and even to sin. In what areas of your life, in what areas of life are you clinging to your own will and expectations? Do you find yourself angered that they're not being met? Is the storm in your life revealing areas of sin, attitudes of pride, actions of self-reliance? You see, the book of Job, it's got purpose. It's not just some great story. It's got a purpose, and its purpose for us today is for us to realize the greatness of God. And even though we may suffer, and some of you I know are suffering even today, even in the midst of our suffering, God still reigns. God still is great. God still is in control. Are you ready to trust Him for who He says He is? Think about that. Are you willing to trust God for who He says He is? Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. God thunders marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend. Hearken unto this. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power. He is excellent in judgment and excellent in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear Him. He respects not any that are wise of heart. Have your way, O God, in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.